following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
Right, right. It's time today. That's just a great show. Yeah, it's the principles of Islam, the basics of Islam. It's Sheikh Yusuf Esther. It's just a great show. Every Friday, 2 p.m. We have to be Islam today with Sheikh Yusuf Esther. This is Islam Today with Sheikh Yusuf Esther.
Bismillah, Alhamdulillah. You're listening to Islam Today, and we're broadcasting to you almost live, all the way from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, hu alladhi ja'alana muslimin. The praises to the one who made us into Muslims. Islam Today is broadcast under the auspices of the Islamic Broadcasting Network, and you can always visit us on the internet at ibn.net, or you can email us at islamtoday@ibn.net. Today's program is entitled, What to Do After the Shahada. So, inshallah, we want to talk about that because right here in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, we have one of our brand new brothers. He just made shahada less than maybe like 24 hours ago, 48 hours, let's say, because Friday today, Sunday like this. So, alhamdulillah, this means he's still brand new. No scratches, no dents. Low mileage. Alhamdulillah. And so what we would like to do is to basically remind ourselves, all of us, we'd like to remind ourselves, after the shahada, what? Because it's something on the one side, you know, to talk to people about come to Islam. We tell people you should come to Islam because, you know, we worship Allah the way He wants to be worshipped. We believe one God. We believe in the prophets. We believe in the books, so and so. And then when the people said, okay, we like this, it sounds good, we would like to join you. We'd like to be with you guys. So they come into the masjid and they would like to make something called shahada. Shahada is basically to bear witness and open testimony that they believe there's only one God to worship and Muhammad is His messenger. And this is the general understanding. But after they make the shahada, the next thing we do as brothers and sisters in Islam, we say to them, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Okay, now what? Give him a free Quran and have a nice day. That's it. And then when we see him in the street a few days later, we go, oh, that's a new brother. Salaam alaikum. What's up? And he said, oh, alhamdulillah, brother, I have a question. Oh, brother, I'm in a hurry right now, but, you know, go to the imam. Okay. But you go to the imam, I have a question. Okay, can you call me later? Because right now, you know, I've got some things we're trying to take care of. So, but we'll get back to you, inshallah. But what? Is this right? How many times we heard of somebody that came into Islam, and then we didn't hear from him anymore? You say, what happened to the boy? He came in 3 weeks ago, he made shahada, and oh yeah. What about the lady? She made shahada, and yeah, that's right. Where are they? Do they disappear? Is somebody picking them up in a spaceship and taking them to Mars? We don't see them anymore. We have to ask ourselves a question, what's going on? So after the shahada, what? We have a program that we already did. It's called, What If They All Became Muslims? And in this particular program, we talked about the fact that we're really not ready. We're not ready. You know, you shouldn't ask Allah for something you don't want. Should you? And I'm going to ask this question. Suppose I asked you, be honest, would you like to see all the people in America make shahada? You'd like it. So you make dua, oh Allah, let all these people become Muslim. And then what? If he did it tomorrow, they all became Muslim, what would you do? What would you do? What if they were standing in a line in a queue out in front of the building tomorrow morning? About 20, 30, 40,000 people. How many people live around here? About 8,000, 10,000? I don't know. Huh? 35,000 people standing in front of the mosque tomorrow morning. What would you do? But let's be realistic. Let's say 10%. That'd be 3,500. No. 1%. Just 1%. 350 people standing in line. No. Zero. Put 0.01%. How many people? 35? Standing in line tomorrow morning. Are we ready for them? Are you sure? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look at this smile. Yeah, we're ready. Okay, I'm going to tell you what to do. You bring them in, you sit them down, and by the way, 35 would just about fill up this whole area right in here. And they'll stand up, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu Muhammad Rasulullah. Takbir, Allahu Akbar, Takbir, Allahu Akbar, Takbir, Allahu Akbar. Okay, where are we going to get 35 Qurans? I don't know, we'll mail them to them. Okay, Assalamu Alaikum. Is that all? Is that it? What about Salat? How are they going to learn how to pray? Who's going to teach 35 people how to pray? They need to pray. You got a prayer coming up. There's never a time when we got more than 12 hours between prayers. Never. And usually the time between prayers is maybe 3 to 4 hours. Who's going to teach them? Teach them how many rak'ahs for Fajr, for Dhuhr, for Asr, for Maghrib, for Isha. They don't even know what's rak'ah. How you tell them how many. What is a rak'ah? How do you do it? How do you pray? Oh, wait a minute. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, told us, Muftah as-salat, the key to the prayer is the wudu, and the muftah to the wudu is the niyyah. And they don't even know what's niyyah, intention. And you're going to start from there and then tell him the wudu. Who's going to do this? 35 people. And it takes maybe 3 to 4 hours of spending with somebody just to get the idea of what the salat is about. And if you have 35 people that need it, who's going to do this? So after Shahada, what? What are you really asking for? And teaching them just how to make ghusl. And just how to do, you know, the fitra. The, you know, when you clean the hairs, all this different. Who's going to teach them all of these things? Basic. And if it's a lady, who will tell her about in this time of the month, such and such and so, and how you do so and so? Who's going to do that? When somebody comes into Islam, there are a lot of issues. And because you grew up in Islam, you don't understand it. You don't understand at all what's happening in their mind, in their heart, and in their pocketbook. And these are relative issues. These are very relevant issues to the subject. If you don't prepare yourself for this, not only will you have a problem with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're going to have a problem right here with the people. After the Shahada, what? Well, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained everything to us in the Quran. It's very clear what happens. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides somebody, and by the way, He's the only one who guides. No one guides except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when He guides them into Islam, this is the opening. This is the opening. Nothing more. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed something in Quran that He never revealed in any other scripture. He revealed an ayah which is found where? In Quran, which never revealed in any other scripture. And it is in Surah Fatiha. A surah called the opening, the first chapter of Quran. And the verse is Ihdina Siratul Mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. Because in the previous scriptures, something is alluded to, and there's a hadith which matches up with some of the scriptures from the Injil, which is similar to saying that if you ask, you'll receive it. And if you seek for something, you'll find it. And if you knock, it'll be open to you. But it doesn't tell you what to ask for, and it doesn't tell you what to seek after, and it sure doesn't tell you what to knock on. So you need this ayah so you understand. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. Because when you ask, Allah will give it. And every time we need anything, we as Muslims do that all the time. Allah guide me. Allah guide me. Only it looks like, by the way, most of the Muslims are telling Allah guide this one or guide that one. Allah guide you. Allah hadik. Allah give you hidayah. We say that all the time to each other. But we should be asking for ourselves. Because we need it. We need it so much. You know how? Look, when a person is coming to Islam, the door opens up for them to begin to be the Muslim. They aren't really there yet. They cannot say, okay, I'm a believer now. The Quraysh, during the time of Jahiliyyah, this is the tribe of Muhammad, peace be upon him, during the time of ignorance, that they came to Islam. And after they made the Shahada, they used to say, we're Mu'min, we're Mu'min, hey, we're believers. And in Surah Al-Hujurat, chapter 49 of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't say you are believers. He's talking to the Bedouin, the Arab, kind of like hillbillies. How'd you like that? Arab hillbillies. Anyway. This is Bedouin. Anyway, Allah is telling them, don't say that, because the iman has not yet entered your heart. It's better for you just to say, we have submitted. This is the meaning, plus or minus. Now, so that we understand, when somebody comes into Islam, it's just the beginning. And Allah tells them in Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 208, He said, O you who believe, enter into Islam perfectly and don't follow the footsteps of a shaitan. Don't follow the footsteps of the devil. This can have a number of meanings, but don't forget that shaitan used to be a worshiper of Allah. But because of his pride, kibr, he wouldn't make sajda when Allah ordered him to, and he became who? The rejected. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. So, the person entering into Islam has a special problem. The problem really is that he's at the door, but he doesn't know what to do next. He's at the door. The door is open, and actually he's thinking, I made it. I'm there. Because he never knew where the door was before. He thought the goal was the door. I'm at the door. I'm at the door. I'm here. Okay. I remember it well. I remember it real well. I'm going, okay, that's it. Here I am. I made it. Oh, man, I figured it out. God is one, has no partners. I understand who's the Isa, alayhi salam. I got it. Wow, that's really great. And then somebody said, okay, it's time to pray. What's that? Salah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay, I'm ready. Well, you have to make wudu. What's that? Oh, the water thing. Yeah, all right, here we go. And you start throwing water all over the room. It's kind of fun. You know, when you're a kid, you wish you could do that. That's okay. It's cool. And then you get out, and it's time to pray. You stand up, bend over, stand up, sit down, up, down, up, down. That's pretty good. Unless you weigh too much like some people. We don't want to mention any names, but I'm working on this, by the way. Anyhow, or if you're real old, maybe it's no fun. But you can pray sitting down. It's okay. You can do it. You get all through praying, you know, and you're telling your friends about, hey, this is pretty good, man. We're Muslims. Sign up for bomb class in the morning or something. You know, just kidding, by the way. So, you know, you go do some things. Somebody say, okay, time to pray again. Again? We prayed 3 hours ago. That's all right. So you pray again. Oh, that's pretty cool. You know, this time, you know what? We only prayed 3 things, and before we did 4 of those things, And then after a little while, okay, it's time to pray again. Again? Now it's 4, okay. Next thing you know, somebody beating on the door. It's not even daylight, man. It's time for Fajr. What's that? And, you know, okay, well, you know, we got to get, I'm a Muslim now, you know, I got everything. I'm going to learn some of the Arabic stuff, man. Assalamu alaikum. I got it together, man. All right. Bismillah. Ar-Rahman. Rahim, Ar-Rahim, Ibrahim, Ma-Rahim, until I get it. Okay, step by step, this is how we went through it, step by step by step. And we thought we were there. We thought we were there because we didn't know what Allah said in the Quran when He said in Surah Ankabut, chapter 29, verse 2 and 3, when He says, do they think they're going to be left alone on saying we believe and they're not going to be tested? For sure, just like we tested the ones before, we're going to test them to show them and everybody else. You're going to see. You're going to show who are the truthful in the truth and the liars in their falsehood. Who said that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this life a test? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, fitna. Fitna is more than just a test. Fitna is like, you know what? I don't know if you know what this is like, but it's like getting tangled up in a barbed wire fence. That's fitna. I mean, something big, and that's what I'm saying. And Allah said fitna in regard to your family, your money, your children. Everything in this life is a big fitna for you, a test, like you can't believe. Is that true or false? Yeah? That's exactly what it's all about. And then the person coming into Islam might say, well, what is his purpose behind all this thing? What's going on here? And Allah said in the Quran, A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajeem, wa ma khalaqtul jinn wal ins illa liya'budun. That's in Surah 51, verse 56. He said, I have created you guys only for one purpose, to worship me alone without any partners. And you say, well, if that's the case, I mean, you know, I'm willing to do that. I mean, here I am, you know, I prayed, I'm sitting here in the masjid. I mean, you know, isn't that enough? Oh, no. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the kuffar, those who cover the truth. That's what kuffar actually means, disbelievers. They don't, it's not a matter that they've changed anything. They're just hiding the truth. But he says that whenever something good comes their way, they'll say, this is from Allah. That's from Allah. But yet, when any kind of calamity comes to them, they get any kind of problem, they blame it on Muhammad. Peace be upon him. They point to him and say, it's your fault. In the same way the people who do today, they'll say, that's your fault. Man, you guys are bringing all this stuff on us. Think about this. If any good comes your way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's talking about this in Surah Al-Fajr. In Surah Al-Fajr, right in the middle of it, he said that whenever he tests the human being by giving them the na'mah, which is favors and good things. Allah gives them these big favors. Then they say, my Lord has honored me. Give me big honor. You know what I'm saying? All right. See what? Look here. Look at me. And then Allah said, but when we test him by restricting his intake, meaning his money and his goodies and all the rest of it, when we hold back from him his rizq, it said in Arabic, or you could say daily bread, that's another way to look at it, then he said, my Lord hates me. And Allah says, kalla, no way, Ray. The real problem here is you, because you don't take care of the yatim, the orphans, and you don't take care of the miskin, the poverty stricken. So it's really from us. So this is the test. Now watch this. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith sahih, in a good narration or tradition of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said that the condition of the mu'min, the believer, is strange. Because only good things happen to him. Only good things are happening to him. Because anything comes his way, good, nice things. He said, alhamdulillah. But anything comes his way in the way of a test or a hardship, then he makes sabr. What is sabr? I was hoping you'd say that. That fit right in with my program. Patience, you watered it down to the point where there's almost nothing left when you said that. Sabr means to stick on something, be steadfast in something, don't give up, hold on, be strong, and hold, literally hold on. And be patient. I wanted to make a point out of that because I don't like it when people water down the Arabic language. Hold on real tight. He doesn't give up. And that's good for him. He held on. He's steadfast in it. He doesn't give up, but it's good for him. But this is only in the case of the believer. What's the condition of the believer? Let me help you. If you want to know what your belief is, what you really believe, you say, I love the Lord. Okay, that's good, man. That's excellent. You know, I praise God. You know, alhamdulillah. Okay, excellent. Love it. You know, and I think of Allah at all times. Wonderful. This is so good. And everything comes, I praise Him. Food comes, I praise Him. Money comes, I praise Him. Wealth of any kind, I praise Him. Okay, thank you. Now I want you to just do one thing for me, and I'm going to tell you exactly where your belief is. What's that? I want you to hang a picture on the wall. Just hang a picture on the wall for me. If you do that, I'll tell you exactly what your belief really is. He said, what do you mean? What do you want? See that picture? Hang it on the wall. Well, nothing to hang it on. That's right. Go get a nail and a hammer and start banging that nail in the wall. And I'm going to tell you something just in about a minute. Bang, bang, bang. Ow! What's the next word out of your mouth is exactly what you believe. Because when the pain comes, we're going to find out. If you said, bam! Oh, alhamdulillah! That's great. But if you said anything else, okay. So when the rain comes and the pain comes, we're going to find out exactly what you believe. Anybody can be thankful in the times of ease. But what about the difficulty? Fa'innama al-usri yusra. Wa'innama al-usri yusra. Allah said, after every difficulty comes ease. Certainly, after every difficulty comes ease. So subhanAllah, here's the answer for us. This life is a big test. And my brothers, I'm talking to all of us. Our test is to help these folks when they come in Islam. Help them to understand about this test. And then be ready to help them. And wallahi, they have haq. And we're not giving them their haq. They have rights on us, and we're not giving them their right. Brothers will come along and say, well, you know, you got to quit your job. Because it's haram. You can't sell alcohol. All right, I quit. Now what do? Maybe I'll take a job delivering pizza. Haram. It has ham on top of it. You can't sell ham. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, I'll drive a taxi, you know. That's what all the other Muslims do in the world. I'll drive a taxi. Said, haram. Why? Well, a lady might get in there and you're all by yourself with a lady. And the Prophet ﷺ said, there's never such a thing as a man and a woman alone together, because when a man and a woman are alone together, a shaitan a thalat, the devil is the third. Yes? Haram! So now he can't drive the taxi. He can't deliver the pizza. But then he looks around and he goes, but all the other Muslims are doing it! How do I deal with this, man? You guys are buying houses on credit. You guys are out here doing the pizza thing, and you're eating it. And drinking this stuff like it's going out of style, and chasing women up and down the road, telling me to wear a kufi and telling me to wear that goofy looking gown you got on, but you only wear it to pray in, telling me about how long my pants have to be, but when you get out to the street, you roll them back down and look like everybody else again. And you want me to be in this thing, and you calling that Islam. I love our African American sisters. You know what they said? They said, is this Islam or his slam? They're right. They're absolutely right. Because we're making a distinction here between what's reality and what we're making up with the deen. And we're making it too hard. Islam is very simple. Don't say it's easy, though. It ain't easy. But it is simple. Islam is simple. It's to worship Allah alone without any partners. And obey him in the conditions that he set forth, and be ready to be thankful for the good things he gives you, and to be patient and steadfast in the difficulties that come. That's what it's all about. So we need to work together to make a good plan, so that when new people come to Islam, we have a package for them. We have books, we have tapes, but we also have a thing called money. You know money? But the people, when they come into Islam, they have rights. And when they need help, it's not right to keep telling them, well, brother, just go get another job. But everybody keeps telling me the jobs are haram that I'm trying to do, and I need some help. He has rights. Give him his rights. And don't make them beg. They're not beggars. They're new to Islam. They need help. If they need clothes because their clothes don't fit the circumstance, like especially the ladies, buy the hijab. Buy the scarves for them. Give them the clothes they need. Don't stand there like everybody else. Sister, brand new sister, she won't wear the hijab. Maybe she doesn't have the money. Did you think of that? There are a lot of things that we don't put together when we see somebody coming into Islam. We don't realize there's an obligation there on our side. For each person that enters Islam, we have a big responsibility. And then they come to you and they say, well, you know what? My wife's not a Muslim. or my husband's not a Muslim, what do I do? Dump him. What? Your husband's not a Muslim? Haram! You can't even go home today. Well, where should I go? You can come home with me. No, this is Sabili law, brother. This is just Hibak Filah. I love her for Allah. Yeah! You think I'm joking, don't you? I saw it happen already. Sad. This is sad. There was one story, I shouldn't maybe tell it, but they said that one, he pronounced a woman, she came to Islam, pronounced her divorce, and married her to himself. Amazing. Amazing story. If it's true, I don't know if it's true, but I know one thing. These are the kind of things that scare people away from Islam. And then if somebody's got fed up, don't you realize the damage they're going to do to themselves and the 10 or 20 or 100 other people? Yeah. Stop and think about it. So when people come to Islam, we need to give them the rights, take their time. Invite them to eat. Take them out to eat as much as you possibly can. That's one of the best ways to impress the new people because they're not used to that. Especially the fact that, you mean I don't even have to pay for half of it? Seriously. Because in this country, people are not that generous. Hey, you want to go eat? Let's go eat together. What do you like? You like that? I like this. You buy yours, I'll buy mine. That's it. Muslims don't do that. But a new Muslim, he doesn't know that. So he'll really appreciate it, seeing somebody taking care of his food like that. Let them stay at your house. Let them camp out, you know. Now again, I want to remind you, that's brothers staying with brothers and sisters staying with sisters. But Alhamdulillah, I think here in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, maybe inshallah you don't have those kind of problems. Inshallah. Inshallah it's going to work out good and you're going to have good success, new people coming to Islam. But the final point is when they come to you and say, how do I help my relatives come to Islam? Don't tell them, Allah Hadi. Allah is the guide. Don't say that. We know that. But he's not asking you who's the guide. He's asking you for help on what he should do. And all of us are responsible. Because Allah, he's going to ask you about that. He's not going to ask you how many letters you have after your name or before your name. I have DR in front of my name. Isn't that great? Well, he got MA after his name, and he got BS after his name, and that's a lot of BS. But then somebody else got PH and D after their name, and that's piled higher and deeper. No matter how you slice it, all of that's worthless after you die. When you're laying in a grave, laying in the cover, what is all of that for you? But what about that poor person standing there asking you for help? And you frown and you turn away. And Allah said, Abasa wa tawalla. Frown and turn away. Because you're too busy. Allah guide them. Allah guide us. Because we're the one that need it more than anybody. So may Allah have mercy upon all those who are coming into Islam. And may Allah make us of those people who will help them and realize the value of the dawah and the follow-up afterwards. Inshallah. Amen. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد آمين. You're listening to Islam Today. We're broadcasting to you almost live all the way from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. You can visit us on the internet at ibn.net. Listen for our program regularly broadcast every Friday at 2 o'clock right after Juma on 700 a.m. here in Washington, D.C. This is your host, Yusuf Estes, telling you until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira, wa la yaghfiru al-dhunuba illa ant, faghfir li maghfiratan min indik, warhamni innaka antal ghafurur rahim.